One verse out of Ezekiel chapter 46. Now, don't want you to put that up yet, but I want you to just leave it off for just a little bit. And Ezekiel's an interesting book. Ezekiel came and in chapter 1, verse 3 of that, and I'm not going to preach on this, but I just want to mention it to you. And it says, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel.
Yes.
That means God picked him out for a certain purpose, for a certain reason. Now, Israel was in a mess. If you get started in the first part of Ezekiel, and God was sending them a strong rebuke because of the sins of the people of Israel and that they had committed against God and where they were in their lives. But Ezekiel ends with a great restoration and a great revival of God's people. You see, Israel got a restart.
Yes.
And there's probably some of you this morning that need a restart in your life. You need to get all the stuff that really is not important, the stuff that really doesn't matter, you need to get it out of the way and just let God start all over again. A couple of years ago when I was preaching revival here, I gave you my definition of revival. Now, I don't expect anybody to remember that, but what I gave you was this. Revival is just simply falling in love with Jesus all over again.
Right.
Just falling in love with Jesus all over again. You might be here this morning and you maybe came with a life that's full of problems, a life that's full of discouragement, a life that's full of just so many things that we could just go on. But I want you to know this morning that you can leave with a heart full of praise. You can leave with where God wants you to be. I hope that in the future, that every time your phone or your iPad or your computer locks up and you have to restart it, that God will bring to your remembrance that, hey, maybe it's time that I do a spiritual examination and see if I need a restart in my life. Okay? All right. That's enough of the introduction, all right? Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the privilege of being here today. I really do, God. And Lord, just search me, oh God. Search me and make my heart and my mind still today, and just put me behind the cross, Lord, and keep me there, God. Speak through me, speak to me, God, and speak for me. God, you're the potter, and I'm just simply the clay in your hands. God, I just want to yield myself to you and ask you to use me for your service, God, for your honor and for your glory. Have your way in this place today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God has led me to a rather strange place in the Scripture this morning to preach from. And I have thought on this Scripture for probably 6 weeks now, long before Mark ever called and asked me about doing revival. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 9. Are you saved this morning?
Yes.
Are you glad you're saved?
Yes.
Amen. Are you glad for the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 9. Now listen to this very carefully as we read it. Then I'm going to give you the title of the message. And it says, when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. I want to preach to you this morning a sermon that I've titled, Don't Leave the Way You Came.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't leave the way you came.
Amen.
Yeah. I want you to just think about it. I believe that God has something special and specific for everybody in this building this morning. I really do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that's the kind of God that I serve. He woke you up. He allowed you to start on your way. He allowed you to put one foot in front of the other. And He granted us the opportunity to come together in His house to worship Him and to make His praises known and to sing about Him and testify Him about it. And some of you came needy this morning. You need strength to endure something that's going on in your life. Or maybe some of you came, you got a prayer that you need answered. Or some of you came this morning and you're carrying a burden in your life. You're carrying a problem of some type. And you need to do something about it. You need a little bit of help somewhere along the way. Some of you came looking for an answer to prayer. Maybe it's a prayer you've been praying for many years. Maybe just for weeks. Maybe for months. But today may be the day that God's going to answer your prayer. Some people came from close. Some people came from afar. Some people came for one reason and some came for another. But my question is, will you leave this place this morning the same way that you came? If you came without Jesus Christ as your Savior, will you leave this morning unchanged, unrepentant, and unbound for heaven? Will you come this morning and will you allow God the opportunity to change your life? Some of us walked into this sanctuary this morning. I love that word sanctuary. Sanctuary, a place of safety. Not a place to make you feel bad, not a place to make you uncomfortable, but that's the Holy Spirit's job. But it's a sanctuary, carrying a lot of different love. Some of you came in full of doubt. Some of you came in full of fear. Some of you came in full of worry. Some of you came in full of sin, maybe. Full of sin because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can come as you are. Come as you are, but don't leave the way you came.
Right, right. That's good.
I mean, you bring your burdens to God.
Yes.
You come to Him and look to Him for whatever you need. And everybody has burdens. Everybody has problems. They talked about it this morning in the Sunday school lesson. Just because you get saved doesn't mean that your life's going to be all hunky-dory from that point forward. But I want you to turn with me now. We're going to preach the rest of the message from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Come as you are, but don't leave the way you came.
Good.
Just a simple little verse this morning. Everybody's got problems. That's why God gave us 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Just a simple little verse says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen.
You know, I know you all do a lot of visitation. I know you go into a lot of homes. But do you know how many people there are in this whole world that think that nobody loves them?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they think that nobody cares about them. Just like the psalmist said, that I believe it was the psalmist, I'm getting older, I'm getting senile. But I think the psalmist is the one that said that no man careth for my soul.
Right.
I'll never forget the story. I was a part of it. You got a young, well, at that time he was younger than me anyway, but a young man was dying over in Clay County, and he didn't know the Lord as his personal Savior. He was dying with cancer, and he got to the point that he could just barely talk. I had gone to visit with him, and other people had visited with him, but he didn't know the Lord as his Savior. But it just so happened that my older brother, who's next to me in age, went to school with him, and the Lord laid it on my brother's heart to go visit this guy, and he went, and he sat down, and of course they reminisced a little bit about growing up together and going to school together, and then my brother said, Warren, he said, I've come to talk to you about your soul. And this is what Warren said. He said, I've been praying that somebody would come. Now he was lost, but he had been praying that somebody would come. Somebody would come and tell him about Jesus. My brother had the privilege of leading him to the Lord there that day in his house. You know, you are somebody's somebody.
Amen.
There's somebody in your life that you have more influence on than anybody else in the whole wide world. Somebody that you know. Somebody that you're friends with. That you have the influence in their, you have their ear, you have their eye, and they trust you and they look to you, and you have the opportunity to be the change that they need in their life. Sometimes all that somebody needs is somebody just to put their arms around them and just hug them real tight. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the words. Countless people have asked me down through the years, when you go into somebody's house where somebody has died, what do you say? Well, I usually don't say anything. I just walk up and I just hug them real tight. That's what they need to hear. That's what they need to know. They just need to know that somebody cares about them. Somebody's praying for them and all of that. You know, this is this verse here, casting all your care upon Him. Like I said earlier, some of you all have been carrying burdens. Some of you all have been carrying stuff for so long that you don't even realize you're carrying it anymore.
Right.
It's just become a part of your life. You worry about this, you fret about that, you're concerned about this, that, and the other, and you've done it for so long, it's become so ingrained in you that you don't even realize that it is a part of who you are anymore. But this verse of Scripture says to cast all of your care upon the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I like 1 Peter. I really do. 1 Peter, you know, it tells and shares a lot of things with us. It's more than just a comforting verse. It's a call to action. The word cast is not a noun. It's a verb.
Right.
It says to cast all your care upon Him. It's something that you have to make a conscious effort to do. Something that you have to deliberately set out to place your burdens upon the Lord. And let me tell you something. He's able to carry your burdens. He's able to take care of your problems. He really is. He has in the past and He will in the future. I want you to know today that God sent your way this week a nearly bald-headed old preacher man, 72 years old, just to let you know that it's time to let go and let God.
Yes, amen.
It's time in your life just to let go and let God. God lets you come to this place this week to do a change, to work a change in your heart and in your life. I just don't want you to leave the same way that you came. I really don't. I want you to lay aside those burdens. I want you to leave here having a little bit of freedom in your life. The things that weigh us down. I'm going to make some of you uncomfortable right now, okay? Will you still love me?
Yeah,
I want you to lean over to your neighbor and say, I'm not leaving the way I came. Let's do it again, okay? Some of you got to get the hang of this. Lean over to your other neighbor now. I don't care whether you know him or not. And say, I'm not leaving the way I came. See, some of y'all not comfortable here. I don't know why. I mean, this is a family of God, isn't it? So why does it make you uncomfortable to lean over to your neighbor and say, I'm not leaving here the way I came? I mean, it might have been your husband, might have been your wife. Why does it make you uncomfortable? What's going on in your life? What do we need this morning? I like 1 Peter. I really do. I'm glad that God picked Peter to preach Pentecost.
Yeah.
I really am. Peter was pretty rugged. Peter was pretty rough around the edges. But when God got ready for the grand opening of the church, He took the ruggedest, roughest old preacher that He could find. And He said, "Peter, I just want you to go and stand up there in front of all them people and just tell them what I've done for you. Tell them how your life has been changed. And they can see that there is redeeming power in the blood of the Lamb." I tell you what, old Peter, I can identify with Peter most of the time because I stick my foot in my mouth. Kind of like Peter did a lot of times. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter said, "We've been kept by the power of God." Amen?
Yes, amen.
In 1 Peter, kept by the power of God. I love that song that C.C. Winans sings. I can't never remember the name of it, but I can remember the line in it that I really love. And it says, "All my life He has been faithful."
Yes.
All my life He has been faithful. He kept me through my teenage years. He kept me through my 20s. He kept me through my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, and now He's keeping me through my 70s. All my life, God has been faithful. I'm not here to tell you what my past life was like, but I've been shot at. I've been cut at in a beer joint. I've done things to my body and put things in my body that nobody with one lick of common sense would ever do. I've been in two car wrecks that were totaled that I walked away from. Can I tell you this morning that all my life God has been faithful? God has been faithful to me. And He's been faithful to you. Even if you're here and you're unsaved this morning, the only reason you're here is because God's been faithful to you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a place for you. God wants you to be a part of His family. God wants to redeem you. God wants to give you joy and peace and happiness and comfort through all the trials and the tribulations of life. That's why He said, "Casting all your care upon me." You don't just cast it to the wind, you cast it upon Him. I tell you what, the goodness of God, He's been so good. He was good enough to bring you here this morning. To give you the opportunity to receive the greatest gift that's ever been given. One more time. One more time, God's been faithful to you. But you know what? I don't only have good news, but I also have bad news this morning. The day of grace is not going to last forever.
That's right.
There's going to come a time when God's going to pull the curtain on this thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be the end. Then a lot of things are going to happen. That's why you need to know Him before it all begins.
Yes,
you need to. I listen to Christian radio all the time, and as I was going back and forth to revival last week, I heard a song that just really stirred my heart. It said, "I'd never been to heaven, but my name's already there." And I thought, "Amen, brother.
Yeah.
I've never been to heaven, and I haven't, but my name's already there.
Amen.
It's already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's yours."
Yeah.
How'd you come this morning? Did you come bearing a load of sin? Did you come bearing a load of guilt? Some secret sin in your life? Oh, I'm talking to Christians too.
Yeah.
You come burdened down with worry about something that you can't do anything about?
Right.
Come worrying about a problem that you've got that You've thought about what to do about it. Just cast all your care upon the Lord. That's all He wants you to do. Just turn to Him. Just let God be God. Anybody going through some stuff in your life this morning?
Sure. Yes, sir.
I only heard one person. I don't hear very well. I was telling the brother back there early this morning, I went a turkey hunting with my nephew Friday morning. I quit turkey hunting years ago. But I went turkey hunting with him Friday morning, and he heard four gobblers, and I heard one. Because I don't hear very well. I really don't. Anybody got some stuff going on in your life this morning? Hey, I kind of thought that. I really did. About all of us have got something going on in our life. Something that we can't handle. Can I tell you why we ought to be the noisiest, shoutingest bunch on the face of the earth this morning? Because God's been faithful in the past. He's fixed it in the past. He'll fix it again. I mean, He can get us through the rough spots in our lives. I don't understand this thing about... I don't remember. Somebody said it already this morning that when they got saved, they thought everything was going to be okay from that point on. I think Brother Rick maybe in the Sunday school lesson. But we know that's not true. But we also know that if we don't have the Lord, we don't have anything to help us out. I really believe that some of y'all could get some stress relief. Stress. You know that they estimate that stress has killed over 350,000 people in the last 5 years? Stress. People worrying about stuff. People fretting about stuff. People trying to handle things on their own. But in chapter 1, Peter said we're kept by the power of God. In chapter 2, he tells us that we're the lively stones that are built up for the kingdom of God. In chapter 3, he makes it very clear that what our relationship with other people ought to be like. And then in chapter 4, he tells us not to be worried about the trials and the tribulations that are going to be coming our way, but we just have to learn to rejoice when we're going through those things. And then we come into chapter 5 that we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, if you got a good pastor, you ought to be thankful. Yeah. Have you got a good pastor? Yeah. Are you praying for him? Yeah. Are you lifting him up before the Lord? Are you saying, Lord, just keep on blessing my pastor? You see, the more God blesses him, the more He'll bless you through preaching to you the living Word of God.
Yes,
and so definitely, you know, you ought to be praying for your pastor. So don't leave the way you came. He told him back over in Ezekiel, he said, if you come in by the north gate, go out by the south. If you came in by the south, go out by the north. Don't leave the way you came. Don't leave carrying the same problem that you came in here with. So how do I leave changed? I mean, that's a pertinent question, isn't it? Isn't that something that is fair to ask me if I'm going to preach that you need to leave different than what you came? How do I go about this? I hear preachers preach sometimes, and they tell me about a lot of things, but they don't tell me how to fix those things. They tell me about a lot of my problems and a lot of the things I should be doing, but they don't tell me how to be doing those things. But I'd like to try to help you understand how to not leave like you came. Okay? I'm just going to do it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. It says, casting all your care upon Him. The first step in not leaving like you came is to acknowledge the fact that you've got a problem.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, sir. Acknowledge the fact. Hey, I got news for you. There ain't nobody in here perfect.
Amen.
There is, I know my English is not good, but there's nobody in here that doesn't have a problem. I got problems. Preacher Mark's got problems. Boyd's got problems. Rick's got problems. Everybody's got a problem of some kind or another. Isn't that what he's talking about when he says, casting all your care? Don't we care about those things in our life? Isn't that why they become a problem? Because isn't that why we worry about them and all of those things? Casting all your care upon Him.
Yes, sir.
That's how you leave different than what you came.
Yeah.
That's how you get a restart in your life. That's how you get to begin all over. When I was growing up, that's been a long time ago, they had a little toy that was called an Etch-a-Sketch. Some of y'all remember that. Man, I used to love to play with that thing. And I would draw all this stuff or try to draw all this stuff, and nobody could ever figure out what I was drawing, but I knew what it was. But I would draw all this on that Etch-a-Sketch, and then when I got finished with it, I'd just turn it up and shake it, and it'd all be gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a perfect picture of what God does when He saves you. He just picks you up and shakes you real good, and all that stuff is gone. Because God's done give you a new heart. God's done give you a new spirit. God's done made you a new person. He didn't remake you. He made you new. Just like that Etch-a-Sketch, when I would turn it up over my head and shake it and bring it back, it was just a blank slate.
Right.
Wasn't nothing wrote on it.
Right.
And that's what happens when God saves you. God wipes away your past. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to forget our past, right? I mean, but didn't one of the preachers say, forgetting those things which are behind?
Yes.
And pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Didn't He say we ought to forget about those things?
Yes.
The way that we failed in the past? I think that's good advice for today.
Yes.
That no matter how you have failed God in the past, that you need to forget about that and you need to make a determination in your heart today to now, that you're going to start all over. You're going to get a restart and you're going to begin all over again, and you're going to serve God the way you need to serve Him. You're going to serve God the way you know He wants you to serve Him. You're going to live for the Lord. You're going to work for the Lord. You're going to visit for the Lord.
Yes, amen. Good.
Get a restart in your life. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I find in my preaching, as I go different places and preach, it's getting harder and harder to get Christians to leave their pew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
It's getting harder and harder to convince the child of God that they have sinned against God. That restart, casting all your care. You know, it's a deliberate action. Cast is a verb. You gotta throw it away. Can I give you a couple examples out of the Bible of somebody casting their care upon the Lord? Remember that woman with the issue of blood? She didn't stay back in the crowd.
Right.
But she made her way. She wormed through this way, wormed through that way, got up to where she could touch the hem of His garment. She knew she had a problem. You know you've got a problem.
Amen.
I don't have to convince you of that. That's the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit's the one. I tell you what, if you would just make an educated guess of what the number one problem is in your life, I'll bet you could guess it first time.
Yeah.
First time, I'll bet you could guess what your biggest problem is.
Yeah.
She didn't wait around for somebody to tell her what to do. She just went and she reached out and she touched you. You know, that's what you need to do this morning. You just need to touch Jesus.
Amen.
Let Jesus touch you. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. Well, I couldn't get to where He was. I was the unholiest, ungodliest person you could ever imagine. But He didn't give up on me.
Right.
And He's not going to give up on you.
That's right.
I was 28 years old when I got saved. God knocked on my heart's door for years and years. And He just kept knocking. All my life He has been faithful. How about you? Have you been faithful? Could you say, all my life I've been faithful? Old blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging. Heard the crowd coming by. He cried out. He said, Jesus, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he knew he had a problem.
Yes, sir.
He knew there was something wrong. Now I know it was a physical thing. But see, God didn't just heal the physical.
That's right.
God took care of the spiritual too. See, that's the way He works. Jesus loves to meet needs. But can I tell you something this morning? Talking about having problems, talking about carrying burdens. God won't heal what you won't reveal.
That's right. Think about that.
God won't heal what you won't reveal.
That's good.
So what do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you want to pretend everything's hunky-dory in your life, you can do it. If you want to pretend that you don't need a closer walk with Jesus, just a closer walk with Him. If you want to pretend that you don't need to move up a little bit, or just you don't need to do a better job, you can do that. But God won't heal what you won't reveal.
Right. That's good.
You see, you've got to admit that you need some help. What burdens are you holding on to today? You know, just think about it. Maybe it's some kind of secret sin in your life. Something that nobody else knows anything about but you. And God wants you. You see, God already knows it anyway. I mean, you know, whatever your problem is, whatever your burden is, whatever your sin is that you won't reveal to God, God already knows what it is. He just wants you to agree with Him.
Right. Right.
He knows you've got a problem. You know you've got a problem.
Yeah.
He's the mediator.
Right.
You just need to agree with Him that, God, I need to do something about this problem. Casting all your care. You can trust God's care.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him because for He careth for you.
Amen.
He careth for you.
Sure.
You ought to shout amen. He cares for you.
Amen.
He cares for you.
Yes,
and you and you and you.
Yes. Yeah.
He cares for the drunk.
Yes, he does.
He cares for the dope head. He cares for the prostitute. You can find it all. Well, maybe not the dope so much, but you can find all the rest of it in the Word of God. He cares for you.
Amen.
And He wants to meet your need. But you have to trust that God's able to meet your need.
Yes, sir.
You have to trust and believe that He can do it. I mean, He's the creator of the heaven and earth. He holds everything in place by His power. Do you not think that He can meet your needs?
Yeah.
He's a good shepherd that leaves the 99 to go find the one. Are you the one?
Yeah.
That's how much He cares about you. He's the Savior who carried the weight of the sins of the whole world, bore them to Calvary, and died in your place. Do you not think He can meet your needs? Just think about it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, He said, and I will give you rest. Don't leave the way you came. Let God make a change in your life. Know this morning. God is not only able, but God is willing to meet your needs. Casting all your care. If you want to leave different than what you came, then you got to let go completely. Casting all your care upon Him. I could say, well, I'm going to cast this handkerchief away. But it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
If I'm going to cast it away, I got to turn loose of it. But you know what we do? We bring our problems to the altar. And then when we get up, we just carry them back to the pew with us.
You're right.
Just like going fishing. Just like casting that old lure out there. You throw it out, and then you reel it back in. you come to the altar and you think that you've made a decision. You think, you know, that everything's going to be okay now, but then you just real. You're not casting all your care upon Him.
Right.
It's got to be the. You've got to come. Now, I tell you what. I tell you what I see a shortage of in churches today, and that's tears.
Yes, sir.
Shortage of tears of repentance. Shortage of tears of sorrow. I know I'm being long this morning, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Just fear thou not, the Bible says, for I am with thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Yeah.
His righteousness. He's willing to help you. Whatever it is that's weighing you down, holding you back, just lay it down.
Yeah.
Turn loose of it. Just cast it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He loveth you. Don't leave here the way you came. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yeah, that's good.
In prayer and thanksgiving, just give Him everything. Then you can walk in freedom. The Bible says to be free in Christ is to be free indeed. You know, if we'd lay our problems down, lay our afflictions down, just refuse to carry those problems anymore.
Yes.
Say, God, I'm going to give them to You. God's promises, you know, the enemy will try to remind you of your problems, but if he does, you just remind him of God's promises.
Yeah, that's good.
If the devil tries to remind you of your problems, you just remind him of God's promises. If the devil tries to remind you of your burdens that you have, you just remind him that you laid them down at the foot of the cross.
Yeah, that's good.
You can replace. Listen to me. I'm almost finished. You can replace your worry with worship.
Yes, sir.
If you'll leave different than what you came.
Yes.
You can replace your fear with faith.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Fear. We got a lot of fears in our lives, don't we? I mean, we really do. Friends, I have prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed about this week. And I meant what I said when I prayed earlier, and I said, God, I'm just the clay. You're the potter. I don't know. I have no idea how God could take this feeble offering and use it for His glory and His honor. But I do know this. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,
Yeah. You're
carrying around a lifetime of sin.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was carrying 28 years worth when I got saved. And God wiped it away in an instant.
Yes,
gone.
Yes.
You know, I'm the only one that remembers that. Because God's done forgot all about it. And I don't need to be carrying that garbage around with me.
Yes, sir.
What I used to do and what I used to be. The way I used to talk, the way I used to walk, the things I used to do. I don't need to be remembering that stuff every day, day in and day out. Because you see, there came a day in my life that God changed me.
Yes, sir.
And the good news today is this is the day that God can change you. I am fairly certain. I'm not certain of a whole lot of things in this life. I know I'm saved. I know heaven is my home. But beyond that, I don't know very much for certain. But I am certain of this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm certain of that. It's because it's like Rick says all the time, it's what the book says.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon... Now, it doesn't have to say you call in tears.
Right. Right.
It doesn't say you have to call up here at this altar. It doesn't. It's just like if you want to go back over in the Old Testament and the brazen serpent that they raised up. You know, you didn't have to have 20/20 vision. You didn't have to be so close to that brazen serpent to be healed. You just had to look.
Yes.
You just had to look.
That is right.
Today, all I want to get across to you is this. Is that whosoever, that you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
Not might be, not will be somewhere down the road, but shall be.
Right.
Present tense.
Yes, sir.
Today, you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you can walk out of here different than what you walked in.
Amen.
You can walk out of here a changed person. Now, we may not be able to see any difference on the outside, but there'll be a difference on the inside. And God will begin to clean you up. And He'll begin to make out of you the vessel that He wants you to be that clay in the potter's hand. How about it this morning? In a congregation, this number of people, I have no doubt that there's probably somebody here that's lost this morning. Somebody, maybe playing a game with God. Maybe pretending like I used to. For years, you know, preachers always used to, you know, lift your hand if you're saved and all of that. And a lot still do, and that's okay. But you know what I did? I'd lift my hand. Because I didn't want anybody coming and talking to me.
Yeah.
I knew I was lost. I knew I needed a Savior. I mean, I knew it. I'd been in church since I was just that high. God had knocked on my heart's door numerous times down through the years. I knew I needed to be saved. But I'd raised my hand because the devil had a foothold in my life. Leave me alone. I'll just pretend that I'm saved. I'll just act like I am. You know, we've got a lot of people today that know how to act like Christians. We got a lot of Christians that don't know how to act like a Christian.
Amen.
You can be changed today. Don't leave the way you came. Let's bow our heads together, okay? You can be free in Christ. You certainly can. I even heard a song this week talked about it. And you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. 'Cause the Holy Ghost of God is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You don't have to leave here like you can. Christians, how about you? The altar is open today. Are there things in your life that you need to get straightened out? Things that you need to get taken care of? Don't act like everything's okay when you know good and well it's not. The altar is open. I want to encourage you. If you want to have revival, you're going to have to show God that you're serious. You're going to have to show God that you need a restart in your life. God, I'm not where I ought to be. God, I'm not who I ought to be. I'm not acting the way I ought to act. I'm not walking the way I ought to walk or talking the way I ought to talk. God, I want to restart. Restart me today, Lord. How about it? Would you like to come? Would you like to show God that you really want revival in your life? Stay unsaved, are you here? I'd love to pray with you. Preacher Mark would love to pray with you. We'll just let you pray by yourself if that's what you want. But don't leave the way you came. Don't leave without giving God the chance to change something in your life. If I promise not to preach as long tonight, will you come back? You don't have to leave the way you came. Just come as you are. Oh, that old gospel hymn. Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Would you like to come this morning? come and receive the greatest gift that you could possibly ever receive, the Lord Jesus Christ. Get on His side. He's already on your side, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He died for you. Would you come this morning? Get a restart. Begin all over again.